Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Find 1 Peter chapter 4 this morning. As the Lord allows, I'm going to start a new series. We're going to talk about accessing grace. So this will be one, and I don't know, two, though, three, four, how many there'll be, but there'll be a number of them unless the Lord just changes something here. But this is the way I have my direction. So I want to talk to you about accessing God's grace. And for a lot of people, that's probably something that they didn't know, that you have to access it.
Right.
And we'll talk about all that. We won't get there today, but we'll talk about that later, because there's such a misunderstanding in the land that God did it, it's automatic, you don't have to do a thing. Well, you know, there's a side of that, if you look at it the right way, is the truth. God, what God provided, we couldn't have done anything to provide that.
Right.
We couldn't do anything to earn that.
Right.
But you still got to get up and do something to partake of it.
Right.
It's kind of like, it was Friday night, Susie fixed us a fried chicken, fried potatoes, corn on the cob. You know what I did? No, wait a minute. Yes, I did do that. But let me tell you what I did in preparation of that meal. Zero. It was all grace. But I did have to, when she said it's ready, I did have to get out of the lazy boy, walk 7 feet to the table, and use my fork. You understand? It was all free. It was all provided, but I had to do something to partake of it.
Right.
See, this is the way grace is. Grace is free. Grace is God's free gift. But not everybody's partaking of it.
That's right.
And a lot of people think that they don't have to do anything, that if God wants me to have it, I'll have it. But he does want you to have it. That's why he provided it through grace.
Right.
But we have to do something to partake of it. We'll talk about that later on. We won't get there this morning. This morning, I think what I want to talk about is the many or different sides of grace, how many sides there are. So let's go here to 1 Peter chapter 4, and I want to read just one verse there, verse 10. It says, as every man, or that'd be woman too, has received the gift or a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards. I mean, if you're steward something, that means you've been given stewardship over it, right? I mean, you steward it, you know. You're to take care of it. Of the manifold, that's the King James, some other translate manifold too, grace of God. But the word manifold could be put this way, the many-sided grace of God, or the diverse grace of God. In other words, there is... such a diversity to God's grace that it's just probably impossible for us humans to count it all, because His grace is many-sided. It's varied, you know. There's people have, first of all, the things that His grace does in your life is many-sided, but there's grace gifts that God gives to us that are many-sided. You know, some people, spiritual gifts, some people, have natural gifts and talents that God gave them. Some people have musical gifts that God gave them. You know, they have talents. I'm always amazed at some people and their musical ability. And, they go from one instrument to the other instrument to the other instrument and sing. And I'm thinking, how did you get all this? And I think it's a grace. I think, especially in the past, a lot of the well-known musicians started off in church. They sang in church. They were given a gift by God, and the world heard it and recognized this will make some money. It's a God thing. They didn't recognize it as God, but it was a God thing. And so, I mean, they enticed them to come into the world, and out here you can make some money. I'm not saying that everyone that did that was wrong. Everybody's got to follow the plan of God for their life, but I'm saying there's a lot of them that it ruined their lives. It just ruined their lives because they took a gift that they're supposed to be using for God's people and start making money with it in the world. Amen. And I'm not saying the church shouldn't have taken care of them and helped them, and they should have done well in the church. But I'm just simply saying that the world heard it. The world said, this is good. Amen. You know, a lot of people don't know this. You have to be a little older, and I'm not even this old. I know some of you think that I am, but I'm not this old. You go way back in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, maybe 30s in Hollywood. They took some of their stuff from the church. There used to be and Pastor Jerry would know, he was part of her denomination, the Foursquare denomination, Amy Semple McPherson, that Hollywood came to her meetings to watch her do her stuff in church. She would have sometimes illustrated sermons, and they would watch him. And a lot of movie stars came to her church because they were learning from her. It was a gift God gave her that they thought, we can make some money with this. How many know the name? This is an older name, so I know some young people might not have heard this. How many ever heard the name Anthony Quinn? Remember that actor? He was in Amy Semple McPherson's choir. So, the young people, Google it. But he was a very famous actor at one time. And but God gives people graces. I'm convinced that there's people that do things in life just in the natural that they got a talent from God. They got a talent from God. God gave it to them. God gives us talents to work in His kingdom. Amen. In the church, in the local church. Amen. You know, some people are used one way, some are used another way. But those gifts, they're varied, they're many-sided, you know. But when we look at God's grace to us, all of us, I'm going to talk about this morning. God gives us a grace that changes us. He gives us a grace that changes us. He gives us grace that empowers us. And He gives us grace that blesses us. Amen. And you know, when you talk about grace, you know, you go to find a definition for grace. There's so many definitions for grace. But one thing that we often have heard is unmerited favor. How many ever heard that? Yes. How many ever heard the word unmerited favor? Yes. But I want to tell you something. And that's a good definition for grace. But it's not the only definition for grace. And here's how I know that. Well, I know it but different ways. But one way would key us off is the Bible says the grace of God was on Jesus. And He merited it. So we're not just talking about unmerited favor on Jesus, because He merited. He was God. How many know that?
Right.
Still is, by the way, but you know what I'm saying, looking back. So unmerited favor, how many know sometimes you can consider it God's free and undeserved love? I like to think of it as His assistance in our lives, Him helping us out.
Right.
His mercy to us, amen? Now, go in your Bible to Ezekiel. Chapter 36, and I want to talk to you this morning about these three things. I want to talk about, first of all, grace that changes us. This will straighten up a lot of things in the world today, because, you know, you get so many people that say, you know, I'm a Christian. You know, how many know there's a lot of politicians become Christians around election time? You ever notice that? Then they cuss like the devil after it's over with. Is this all right? Sure. So, you know, Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. We're not the judges, but He told us to judge and inspect fruit. He even told the church at Ephesus. He said, you have tried them that said they're apostles and found out they were liars. So you were supposed to check. We're supposed to be fruit checkers. Okay. So, you know, an apple tree, what does an apple tree do?
Produces apples.
Right?
Yeah.
If you plant a tree and you say, look at my apple tree, and 5 years from now there's oranges on it, you were deceived. The tree didn't change. Right? You thought you had something you didn't have, see. And so, how many believers bear fruit. They bear fruit. And so there's such a watered downness of the gospel today. I'm sure it's been that way for years, but such a watered downness. But the thing that even like churches that are considered in the mainstream have watered down the gospel so much that there are so many people out there that aren't even saved and don't even know it. They just think because I go to church, I'm a Christian. No? Many of you are going to be in your garage today and you're not a car. You understand? Just because you went somewhere don't make you that. Right? Christians should go to church, but going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior makes you a believer. See? Amen. And accepting Jesus doesn't just mean I verbalize it. It means I have my hearts set towards Him. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You need to verbalize Jesus as your Lord, but it needs to come from your heart. And then when it gets in your heart, how many know what gets in your heart changes you? It changes you. That's the center, the core of your being, and it'll make you a different person. All right? So I want to read this scripture to you, if you found it there. Ezekiel chapter 36, because grace changes us. Grace changes us. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26 says, this is what God is, the Lord's, this is just a prophetic word about what God will do in a new covenant. He said, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh. In other words, I'll give you a heart that's pliable, workable, moldable. It's not made of stone. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Years ago, I was, this is before Phyllis and I were married, so this has been 40 years ago or more. I was teaching children's church one Sunday morning. You know, when we'd have, the adults would have their church upstairs in the church where I was at, and the children would go downstairs, and they'd have children's church. And so I was teaching it that morning, and we were teaching out of this scripture, Ezekiel 36, I'll put a new heart in you, and a stony heart I'll take out of you. And so we had a skit, we had a skit, and one of the guys in church, he came in, and he had a candy cigarette, IBC root bottle. How many ever seen those? They look like a beer bottle. Yeah, root beer. Root beer. And he comes in. He's got that. I don't know what else we had him doing. But obviously, this guy has some problems. All right? So I'm just like, children, look at this guy. We're not condemning him. We're not making fun of him because we all were once there. You know, when you're a five-year-old, you got all that bad past. You know what I'm talking about? And, you know, we've all been there, you know. But us older folks have been there. And said, so, now, his problem is he's got a stony heart. He needs a heart of flesh. So we put him up on this table, cover him up with a sheet, and I've got underneath that sheet, I've got a big old rock about that big. You know what I'm saying? And then I've got a Play-Doh heart of flesh. So I take this saw, you know, this old wood saw, and we've got that rock up top of him, and I take that saw and start sawing on top of that rock. Oh, man, that's a hard heart. That is a hard heart. And I pull it out from under the sheet. Look at this. Look at this guy's heart. He's got a stony heart. And so I show him that heart of flesh. We put it in there on him, and he gets up praising the Lord. So the illustration was to the kids, that's what happens in this new covenant. God takes that stony heart out of us. Amen? He gives us a heart of flesh, a heart that's moldable and pliable to do His will, to live for Him. Amen? See, grace doesn't just forgive you. Grace changes you. Yeah. This is what's being preached too much in the church is, you know, grace forgives you. No, well, grace does forgive you, thank God, but grace changes you. When I ran into the grace of God, I'm telling you, man, I still marvel at the way my life changed overnight. Yeah. I was on Friday night, I was out of my head. I couldn't even walk straight. I had to crawl up the stairs. I've told you this many times, but brother, I remember it. I forgot what God has done for me. I crawled up the stairs to get into the house. I was so far gone. That was Friday night. On Sunday night, I walked up those stairs, a new creature in Christ Jesus, with demons running from me.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Serious.
Amen.
And it all came because when I knelt down at that altar and gave my life to Jesus, God took the stony heart out. He put a heart of flesh inside of me, a pliable heart. And I got up from there, and from then on, all I want to do is His will. That's all I wanted to do. Everything was, as far as I'm, everything's gone in my life that's against the will of God. Now, you know what? You understand, we still have to deal with our flesh. But our hearts are in the right place. Amen? How many are with me this morning? Am I boring you? You're real quiet. I don't know what, you know, I'm just telling you. This is deeper than just I got forgiven. I got changed. And if you didn't get that, you didn't get what I got. You, when you get what I got, which was the new covenant, you get changed.
Amen.
You start wanting to do different. Now, I understand. I've dealt with people that their flesh was still addicted to stuff and giving them problems, but inside they wanted to change. Amen.
Amen.
I've had people over the years as a pastor, I've got this problem, and I know you're going to be mad at me. And I'm not mad at you. I mean, we all fight things. I said, I'm just proud of you that you're willing to admit it and say, I want to quit it. That's pretty impressive to me that you would do that. What I have a problem with is if you say, well, I've got this problem, and that's just the way it is, and I'm going to live this way. I mean, that's a problem. I said, that's a problem. Then I got to deal with you. Cast the devil out of you, you dumb thing. Amen. Get rid of that. How many understand God gave us something when we got born again? He changed us. We know the scripture. If anybody's in Christ, he's a what? Well, there's some things have passed away, but you know. No, it says all things have passed away. Well, is anybody's in Christ, he's a half a new creature. I mean, that's not it. I said, that's not it. You ought to want to change. There's something changes on the inside of you. Your heart changes. You get a heart of flesh and you want to just be obedient to God. Amen. Amen. I've thought about a lot of things. I've thought about, there's like some songs, the Christian songs. I've thought about, now why doesn't God witness to that song? Maybe that's the way to say it. And what? Because the lyrics are good, sounds good, everything's good. Well, a lot of times, what we don't know, a lot of these people in the music industry are in the music industry.
Yeah.
They're not in the church. You know what I'm saying? They're not even saved. They're just writing songs, mass producing them. They're making money.
Right.
Well, how many know, God, where that song was birthed, that's going to depend on whether God's going to anoint that thing or not.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. So you just have to be discerning, you know, because I've heard some before, you know, I've listened and I think, well, that's a good song. Words are all right, but I just don't sense God putting His blessing on that. And I'm thinking, and sometimes you find out a little bit, think, well, they said they were a Christian, but they were living like a devil behind the scenes. Well, He's not going to bless that. I said, He's not going to bless that. I know we got preachers today saying He'll bless it. No, He won't. You that bear the vessels of the Lord, be holy. Bible says that. Amen. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Thank God. How many know we don't perfect righteousness, right? We're made that. But we're told to perfect holiness. Now I'm hearing preachers say, nah, God gave you holiness. You don't have to do anything. No, read your Bible before you preach. I said, read your Bible before you preach. The Bible says, pursue holiness, perfect holiness. What's holiness? That's us living out what we've been made. That's us being on the outside what God made us to be on the inside. You have to renew your mind. How many know that? You got to think like God thinks. Amen. All right, so grace changes you. Listen, Strong's, I like this. How many ever know what I'm talking about? Strong's Concordance. How many got an old Strong's Concordance? Does it ever hurt you to pick it up? I think it's big. I mean, now I've got it on my iPad, but I've still got the old one. I mean, it's about that thick. It's a big book, you know, and all. And you got to be under 40 to read it. How many know what I'm talking about? But Strong's Concordance defines grace. I love, this is one definition that Strong's gives of grace. It says this, it says, grace is divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. That is so good. Divine influence upon your heart and its reflection in your life. So it's not just something on your heart, it really reflects in your life. In other words, it's God's power to change your life. So there's a grace that changes us. Now, let's talk about this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Are you all with me? I'm winding down here, but I'm still a few miles from the airport. 1 Corinthians 15, go there. I want to talk to you about grace that empowers you. That empowers you. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go here to verse 9. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. In 1 Corinthians 15, 9, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet or fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." So it doesn't sound like Paul was like some of the modern day preachers today that went around tooting their own horn.
Right. Right.
Amen. It's amazing how many churches are the fastest growing churches in America. Years ago, we had a building over in the Vogel Business Park. Anybody was in that building? We were the only church in the Vogel Business Park. We were it. Went another church in there. So I said, we should say we are the fastest growing church in the Vogel Business Park. I mean, we don't need to be vain like that, do we? Why do we have to be the fastest, the best, anything? Paul said, I'm the least. See, one preacher years ago, he's in heaven now, he said, if you want to go up on God's elevator, push the down button. We've lost that in the church. Such vanity. Amen. And perhaps you don't see it all because all you do is come to Oasis Church and see a humble preacher like me. It's nothing but a lovable little fuzzball. I don't know. But I get around in the church. You understand what I'm saying? I see it's like, I mean, you know, you can't, all you want to talk about is you. I don't like it when preachers get up and just, you know, talk about them. Let's talk about Jesus. I come here to hear about Jesus. I think I'm here to hear about, and I know there's a place and a time for telling people what the Lord's doing. That's there's nothing wrong with that. But you can know when it goes over the top. And so Paul didn't have that problem, did he? He said, I'm the least. In Ephesians 3:8, he said, I'm the least of all saints because I persecuted the church. But notice what he says, verse 9. For I'm the least of the apostles that am not meet or right fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. See, it's God's grace that made him what he was. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Paul says he outworked all the apostles. But he clarifies it, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So it wasn't just Paul. It wasn't Paul in himself. He said, it's God's grace on me that's causing me to work this hard. I mean, you need to go with the grace that's on you, not the grace that's on brother, sister, or so-and-so. You might, you know, there, years ago there was a, and he went home to be with the Lord in the 1940s, but some of you have probably maybe read his book or something. But Smith Wigglesworth. He was called the Apostle of Faith. Now, I don't know. There's just been different numbers. But several people were raised from the dead in his ministry. I've heard some outlandish stories of what this man did. we actually had, I don't think we have it available now, but we actually had that we sold a 4-CD series by a guy by the name of George Stormont. Pastor Stormont was from England, and he traveled with Wigglesworth the last 7 years of Wigglesworth's life. He told his stories of knowing him, personal stories, just some outstanding things that he did. But he had such great boldness. He did things that were bold. And some people try to copy him and get in trouble because if you better have the same grace on you as he had if you're going to do what he did. There was one, I've not been a lady, you might remember, hon, got in line, his healing line one time. I don't know if she had a tumor or what she was. No, she was on a stretcher. And she was, you know, not far from death. He hit her. Hit her in the stomach. And said, come out of her. And it looked like she died. Some people said, you killed her. He said, she ain't killed, she's healed. And a few minutes later, she got up well. I wouldn't try that. If you don't have that grace on your life, you're going to end up in jail or beat up by a husband. How many of you follow what I'm saying? Yeah. But yeah, people try to copy that, see. Yeah. You know, well, Oral Roberts had a prayer tower, so I'm going to build one. Yeah, you're going to go busted doing it too. God give us all different grace, right? Amen. Come on. Now, are you with me? Now, in our relationship with him, we're all equal. You know, he gave us all the same footing. But on talents, he gave some people more talents. The Bible tells that. Some he gave 2, some 5, some 10. You know, 1 or whatever the Bible says there in that scripture. But you know what I'm saying? There was different. But now there's a parable of the pounds where he gave everybody the same amount. In our relationship, we're all equal with God. We've all been given the same spiritual blessings. Amen. But God sometimes anoints people to do different things, all right? Paul said this. He said in Galatians, he said that the church perceived the grace that was on me. How many know if somebody's got something, they don't have to advertise it. You can see it. Right. I remember when I first started out preaching, I remember the very first sermon I preached was on David and Goliath. The next one was on faith. And the first one was 45 minutes. And the next one was an hour and a half. That's what one of the deacons said. Oh, I'll never forget. He said to me, I think 45 minutes enough. And on your second sermon, it probably was plenty long. I mean, you know what I'm saying. Anyway, but my point is this. I was born again at the Revival Center, where I got, and that was more of a Pentecostal church. You've all heard Brother Eddie preach. I mean, he can preach. All right. That's all I saw. All right. That's all I knew about. So that's what I thought I was going to do. I'm going to slap my leg. I'm going to do all that. And you know, I found out if I slap my leg, all I get's a bruise. I don't get any anointing out of it. Amen. Remember we had that guy preaching one time and everybody, he go, whoo! Remember him? And he goes, he finally stopped one sermon and said, that's not the anointing. That's how I respond to it. Okay? Well, I got started in ministry, and it wasn't long till it was obvious. See, people said it to me, you're a Bible teacher. You're a Bible teacher. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just saying that's what they told me. I thought, well, I guess that's what I am. That's what I've been for 40-some years, all right? I don't get up and slap my leg. I don't, you know, oh, I get excited sometimes. But, you know, I'm more of a laid-back person. And, you know, I see people try to preach like R.W. Schombach. They just look stupid. Because there was only one of him. You don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. Google it. I can tell by response you don't know who I'm talking about. Google it. He was a powerful, powerful tent preacher. And he could preach. And he had that anointing on him. But that was God's gift. That was God's grace. That wasn't him. It's just like Paul said. I outworked all the apostles, but it wasn't me. It was God's grace on me, see. It was him. It was his power on me doing that. All right? So I've soon learned, you know what? God's anointed me to be a Bible teacher. I like to teach the Bible. That's what I do. And you say, well, I don't learn anything. Well, that's because you're just too dumb. I'm teasing everybody. All right. Help me understand. God gives you grace to do, you know what I'm saying? What He's called you to do. Don't try to copy somebody else. You'll fail. I had to learn that. Because, you know, the old Pentecostals, that's what they wanted. They wanted preaching. They didn't want Bible teaching. They wanted emotion. They wanted that. But God, the Bible says, in the preaching ministry, there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Yep. So, God has, we need different things. How many know, like your diet, you need different things. You don't, you know, I like pizza. Pastor Chuck, you think I like pizza? I mean, he really likes pizza. But you know what? I know this. You can't live off pizza. You got to have other stuff. Amen. So I, you know, contrary to popular opinion of everybody in this church, occasionally I eat some vegetables. Corn, potatoes. I eat kale and soup and stuff like that, celery and stuff like that. It's got to be in stew or, you know, gumbo or something. What's that? Yeah, so it's mushy. It's cooked and, you know, it doesn't taste like dirt. No, I don't pick up celery sticks and eat them. You say, well, Pastor, you need to. I'm 65 years old. Leave me alone. I've made it this far. All right. So, all right, just get me riled up here. Why was I even off on that? You got to have a variety. You got to have a variety. But you do have to have a variety in your diet, you know, and all. And so I take vitamins to hopefully help make it up some. Amen. All right. Now, go with me to Psalm 5. You get anything this morning? I'm getting ready to close. Psalm 5. Go there. Psalm 5. Because I want to talk to you about this last one. Psalm 5. You know, God can give you grace for your everyday life. And Paul said, the Lord told Paul, He said, my grace is sufficient. It'll put you over in everyday life. So there's a grace that empowers us. There's a grace that enables us. It helps us. Even in everyday life, God can give you grace. Peter said that married couples should live together in harmony because they're heirs together of the grace of life. So when we live our marriage right, there's a grace that God helps us live out a marriage in. How many know you put two people together, you're going to need God's grace. Right? And you know, some people don't realize that, but God will help you live a marriage out and have grace. You don't believe that? Ask Jackie. What are you laughing about? Well, I mean, what? Now, Mark, they're taking us farther than I said. I didn't say anything about you. I just said, every woman should know that.
I don't think he's talking to you right now.
Yeah, he's not. It's all right, though. We all love Mark, right? All right. Well, how many know everybody that's married, God will give you grace. But Peter said, don't, you know, husbands, dwell with the wife according to honor. Honor that woman that your prayers be not hindered. Now, he did tell the wife to do something. He told, you know, he said the wives are supposed to call their husbands Lord. So, oh, Lord here has to have some respect here. All right, this is all in the Bible. I'm sorry. It's all in the Bible. Maybe not totally rightly divided, but it's in the Bible. All right. How many of it was, though. That's 1 Peter 3. There's this wives, you got your part to do. Husbands, you got your part to do. That your prayers be not hindered. That you can live with the grace of life. There's a grace of life. There's a grace. Everybody say grace of life. Grace. There's a grace to live life. Why is it some believers, you know, live their lives just tore up all the time? They're not living in the grace of life. I've pastored people. So it's like, your life is totally torn up. It doesn't have to be this way. Live according to the grace of life. Amen. Now, all right, let's find here Psalm 5. And I want to talk about the last one. Talk about this grace that blesses you. There's a grace that blesses you. In other words, it causes God's favor and His blessing upon your life. Psalm 5, verse 12 says this, "For you, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will encompass him as with a shield." In other words, you will surround him with your favor. I mean, you know, compass means it goes all the way around you, right? So it just means as believers, there should be a favor shield around us. Not because of who we are, right? I always think back to a story I read about a minister. He wasn't a minister at the time, he is now. But his dad was a pastor in a certain city, and the city loved his dad. They loved his dad. His dad done a lot of good things for the city with his church and all. And city people there, they loved him. And so he said, I was speeding on an interstate going to church one time, and I got pulled over by a state trooper. And when I gave him my license and he saw the name on there, he said, are you that preacher's son? He said, I am. He said, he gave him back my license and said, slow down. He said, another time it happened, I got pulled over, and this state trooper was kind of rough and gruff and wasn't very happy with him. And he said, I gave him my license. He saw the name on there. He recognized the last name. And he said, are you the pastor's son? I said to him, that depends. He said, depends on what? He said, whether you like him or not. He said, this guy had a real stern face. He said, I saw just a slight smile come on the corner of his face. He said, I like him. I like him a lot. He said, he handed me back my license and said, slow down. He said, I didn't get that favor because of me.
Right.
I got that favor because they like my father.
Right.
We don't get favor because of us. Right. We get favor because we have a father.
Amen.
Amen. And so, and you understand, God wants to bless us. Amen. We've got just a little bit of time. Go with me to Genesis chapter 39. I want to read this. I'm going to just go through a few scriptures on this real quickly here. Genesis 39, go there. And we're about to close. Genesis 39. I want to show you this, that God wants His favor on your life. Now, one thing that the Lord taught me several years ago, He says, I want my favor on your life. You need favor with God and you need favor with man. He said, don't mess up favor. In other words, if you have a bad attitude, you're going to mess favor up. You're going to mess it up. So if you can't learn to treat people sweet and nice, even when they mess up, you're going to ruin your favor. I learned that in dealing business, that if I'll keep a level head, and I will be nice, I get favor. I get favor. But if I come in there and I'm angry, I'm upset, I'm talking down to them, you ruin your favor.
Come on,
you got to learn this. Amen. You can't just be nice to the pastor, although he wants you to be. You got to be nice to everybody. Jesus talked about being kind to the unkind and the unthankful. Amen. Are you with me now? See, and my wife has to remind me sometimes. One time we were dealing with the IRS over the, this was for the church, a traveling ministry. They were just asking questions. And so we'd answer questions and then they'd come back with more questions. And so we'd answer those questions and then come back with more questions and we'd answer those questions. And finally, I had enough of it. I said, give me the phone. I'm going to talk to those people. Thank God for Miss Phyllis. She said, no, you're not. She got it all straightened out. Wasn't like done anything wrong. We were just trying to get approved for some things, in our traveling ministry. And they were just being hard about it. But she understood. You got to keep a sweet spirit about it. Are you with me this morning? See, you can ruin favor on your life. You can ruin favor on your life. Because sometimes favor, God influences people to show you favor. But you can ruin that. So you got to stay nice. You got to stay sweet. I'm not saying you have to put up with everything. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But, there's a way to handle crises and things in a way that you're not being, mean about it. You're not being vindictive. You're not calling names. You're not calling people stupid like I just did you two times today. You're not doing those things. You understand? And you get favor. Amen. All right, now, have you found Genesis?
Yes.
Don't close yet, because I have it. Matter of fact, you close now, I'm going to go another half an hour. All right. Go there. Genesis chapter 39. Go there. Look at this. This is Joseph. I want you to see this. It says in verse 1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian. He bought him at the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph. Who was with Joseph? And he was a prosperous man. Some translations say a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, over all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon him and all that he had in the house and in the field. I mean, this is favor. This is grace. Look at verse 20, same chapter. Joseph's master took him, put him into prison. Remember, he was falsely accused of sexual assault. A place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not unto anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, notice this, the Lord made it prosper. See, this is grace that blesses your life. This is grace that blesses your life. I've seen this many times in my own life, where people did things for me that there's no explanation, you know, just favor, just give you things, it's just God's favor. I'm not just talking about other Christians blessing me. I'm talking about the world. You know, they don't know anything about this. And they don't know, why did I do that? Maybe when you get done doing it, why did I do that? I've had, this is going to sound small, but I thank God for every little favor I get. I do. And I've had Starbucks give me coffee more than once, just free. So, just take it. How many of y'all ever had that? I didn't think so. You don't have Starbucks favor. Phyllis doesn't drink coffee. I don't go there that often because I found out I can get it at Dunkin' for half price. But anyway, this is not an advertisement, by the way, for Dunkin'. Like, I don't want to give you six, and I give Dunkin' three. Anyway, I don't have Dunkin' favor, though. I've just got Starbucks favor, so yeah. Dunkin's never give me anything free. But how many are just small things you need to thank God for, it, right? Amen. Ephesians 1:3 says he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Think about it, all of them. I call that grace, don't you? I'm going to give you this scripture. We'll close with this. We don't need to go there. But Ephesians 1:19 says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? So God, in his favor, in his mercy, is willing to use his power on our behalf. Hallelujah. And you need to know that. Next time you get in the healing line, just say, thank God, I thank you, I have favor on my life. I thank your grace is on my life. And you're willing to use your power on my behalf. Amen. Because God is willing to do that. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have grace that changes us. Grace will do that. If you weren't changed, you need to get saved. Grace changes. I'm not indicating by that you won't still have challenges, that you won't still have to deal with your flesh. You will, but your heart changes. We have grace that empowers us, gives us strength. Amen. And ability. We have grace that blesses us with favor and blessing and prosperity on our life. God wants to bless us. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's all stand up as Jill comes. Thank God for His Word today.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.